Hello, I'm Kevin Keith. In this episode of Skeptical Ethics, I'd like to address the role of human values in skeptical reasoning and rational thinking from the perspective of the motivation for and purpose of our efforts as skeptics. In particular, I'd like to raise the question of what things we ought to care about as skeptics and in what directions our interest and intellect should be drawn in our roles as self-identified skeptical thinkers. Before we start, let me remind listeners that the Skeptical Ethics series attempts to apply skeptical reasoning to value-based issues, such as moral or cultural controversies. New listeners, or those who want to review the basic conceptual grounding of that enterprise, may wish to download the first Skeptical Ethics segment, Does Skepticism Lead to Agreement?, which appeared in Episode 2 of the Skeptical Connections podcast, and the second segment, Moral Agreement Among Skeptics, from Episode 3 of Skeptical Connections, for useful background. In the fascinating new BBC series Sherlock, retelling the Sherlock Holmes stories in a modern setting, there is one episode in which Sherlock is forced by his crazed enemy Moriarty to solve complicated puzzles against the clock in order to rescue hostages from being blown up. At one point, his friend Watson complains that he doesn't seem to be taking the problem seriously enough, treating it as an intellectual game and ignoring the terrible risks to the hostages. Holmes tells Watson that in fact he does not care about the hostages, that caring would only distract him and therefore be counterproductive. It's more effective for him to ignore the hostages and concentrate on the logic problem. It's easy to understand Holmes's point. It's likely most effective in solving puzzles to concentrate only on the data and not on emotional issues that are not part of the solution. Watson's point, however, does not seem to be aimed at the question of what is most efficient in solving puzzles, but at what kind of a person Holmes is, and whether his indifference to human concerns makes him unfit to take other people's lives into his hands, regardless of how efficiently brilliant he may be. There's an echo here, I think, of the debates within the skeptical community over what concerns skeptics should have for the kinds of social issues that surround traditional topics of skeptical analysis, or the actions and activities of skepticism as a movement. How much attention the skeptical movement should give to social justice issues, or whether such issues are properly subjects of skeptical analysis, is a point of division within the community. The importance of such issues, and the personal importance many skeptics give to them, is obvious. But there are those who feel that addressing such issues drags the skeptical movement away from its traditional, defining subject matter, the paranormal, superstition, irrationality-based fraud, and the like. For some traditionalist skeptics, questions revolving on human values rather than scientific fact may be important matters for debate or activism, but are not matters for skeptical analysis, and raising them in the context of skepticism introduces elements that do not contribute to solving the kinds of problems that skepticism works best on. One of the most striking scenes in the first season of the BBC series is the dramatic confrontation between Holmes and Moriarty, in which, this is a departure from the canonical Arthur Conan Doyle stories, Moriarty explains that he devotes himself to devising foolproof plans for murder and other crimes, and claims a kind of antagonistic kinship with Sherlock Holmes due to their similarly logical minds and interest in deductive puzzles. Holmes angrily swears that he will stop Moriarty by killing him if necessary. Moriarty threatens to have both Holmes and Dr. Watson killed to prevent that. Watson, the voice of caring and human interest, offers to sacrifice himself so that Moriarty can be eliminated, and Holmes rejects that solution too. Both Holmes and Moriarty acknowledge that they are permanent enemies, and the matter ends in a standoff. There is no explanation for Holmes's behavior in light of his own description of himself as utterly unconcerned with human issues. He may be correct in saying that it's more effective to be undistracted when he works on solving crimes, but he never explains why he chooses to do so, or why he is so bitterly contemptuous of Moriarty's decision to devote himself to committing crimes. For most people, it's obvious why someone should work at solving crimes. Crimes are destructive of orderly society, and they harm individual citizens. Crime cuts at the human values that underlie civilization and destroys the benefits it offers to its citizens, and so crime should be prevented and punished. In the case of Holmes racing to prevent the explosion of a bomb strapped to an innocent hostage, the justification for doing so is obviously the interest and needs of the person in danger, not merely the intellectual challenge of solving the puzzle. Holmes, however, never acknowledges these obvious verities, and he comes close to implying he does not actually believe them, or at least that these social and human concerns are not motivating for him. But Holmes is lying to himself if he believes that, and he proves it by his reaction to Moriarty. The two men are alike in their mental makeup, but one is devoted to crime and the other is devoted to destroying the criminal world. He also refuses to accept the sacrifice of a human being to prevent further crimes or even murders in the future, although a hard-headed utilitarian analysis might suggest that would be the logical thing to do. Implicitly underlying Holmes's choices is a set of values centered on the importance of human society and human interests. He is devoted to a certain vision of the moral right which is grounded in human lives and human values. He centers his entire life around activities that have no purpose without that motivation. Holmes does what he does for a reason, and that reason is more than merely intellectual stimulation. It also requires a certain kind of respect for the interests of other human beings, a respect that is not only motivating but compelling, even if those interests are not directly in his mind as he works on solving his cases. Given those motivations and commitments, Holmes chooses to be a crime fighter not because that is the most intellectually stimulating thing he can find to do, but because that is what he must do to be true to the commitments he does not even acknowledge having, which also explains why it is anathema to him that anyone should devote their deductive abilities to committing crimes rather than solving them. Skeptics, I think, are in a very similar position. We do skepticism for a reason, and like Holmes, our reasons are grounded in an unspoken sense of the importance of the ends we serve, and not just the means we use to achieve them. It's challenging and often fun to debunk psychics or track down rumors of supernatural happenings, but those activities are important only because the irrational beliefs they are aimed at are themselves important, in a kind of negative, destructive way. Many skeptics are not just critical, but resentful or contemptuous of those who promote woo-woo beliefs and irrationality. In some cases, it's easy to see why. Anti-vaccination and HIV denial campaigns have actually cost lives. Supernatural beliefs have made people vulnerable to psychic frauds and other harms. Debunkers, while not actually crime fighters, do much the same work for much the same motivation as Sherlock Holmes, and have the same justification for doing so. No skeptic would consider becoming a psychic fraud, even though their skeptical knowledge and insight might allow them to do so. The reason is that skepticism serves unspoken but inescapable value commitments, and those values, not just the fun or challenge of the practice of critical thinking, motivate skepticism as a movement. But if we acknowledge that there is a justification in human values for skepticism as the particular form of rational critical thinking we engage in, then it would do us good to reverse the question and ask ourselves what, given that skepticism serves those values, is best for us to focus our attention and activities on. Debunking the Marfa lights is interesting, but not very significant. Debunking the vaccine autism myth is more important, because much more vital human interests are at stake. And if we can identify such relative priorities among areas that most skeptics would agree are relevant targets of skeptical activism, we ought to be able to recognize other issues that carry great weight in human lives and interests, and are also accessible to skeptical insight and analysis. Not all value questions are open to skeptical inquiry, and no value question is solely determined by empirical fact alone. But many socially salient questions, such as the cause and impact of economic inequality, the mental and neurological status of the developing embryo in cases of abortion, and the source and nature of gender identity and its fluidity, directly implicate social or policy questions of great moral significance, but are themselves the center of empirical, not subjective, controversy. If skeptics can and properly should challenge the claim that vaccination causes autism, there would seem to be no reason why they should not be as aggressive in challenging the claim that homosexuality causes pedophilia. Both hinge on factual falsehoods promulgated by anti-scientific ideology and fraudulent reasoning. Both are equally accessible to skeptical analysis, and challenging both is a much greater service to the community than would be analyzing more fake video images of Bigfoot. As did Sherlock Holmes, we as skeptics must decide where we will make our stand on the logically challenging puzzles that threaten our society. And again, as with Holmes, we cannot do so without making a commitment, one way or the other, on the question of why we care about the things we do, and how strongly that motivates us to do them. It only remains to acknowledge that commitment and embrace the action it points us toward. I'd be happy to hear your questions or responses directed to skepticalconnections.com.